hard to choose, but maybe this gospel passage is maybe my favorite in all of Scripture, because it really gets to the heart of the matter. It says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And it's kind of what this is all about, isn't it? To have life with God and with one another in heaven for eternity. How do I get that? How do I lay hold of that? And this young man, you know, he's earnest in his desire to know. And, you know, it's a great question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And I think today it's a question we don't ask too often. We think we already know the answer, and I'm not sure we really listen to Jesus' answer. I think we sort of think to ourselves, and I think it's pretty a popular idea, that if I'm just sort of good enough, if I'm not too bad, and I just have a little bit of faith in Jesus, then I'll go to heaven. If I'm not a bad person, if I'm not awful, then I'll go to heaven. Basically, we sort of think being a good person is not being Hitler, right? Being a good person is not being a serial killer, a mass murderer, or a rapist, yes? We think so long as we're not those things, so long as we're not too bad, then at the end, then we'll get to go to heaven, and we'll have eternal life. And yet, this is not what Jesus tells us about how we are to get to heaven. He actually says something much more, and it's amazing because he first says, "Why do you call me good?" It's sort of cueing us in, because we as the reader know that he says only God is good. We know that Jesus is God, and that he truly is the good teacher, and so we should really listen very closely to his answer. We should pay a lot of attention, because he's telling us how to get to heaven, how to receive eternal life, and we should really, really listen to his answer and take it seriously, is what he's saying to us. But then he says, how does he respond? He says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments," right? He says, this is the common opinion, right? All you have to do is keep the commandments and then you'll be good. All you have to do is be good enough. "You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." Now, it's amazing that this young man has kept all these commandments, because I haven't. I look at these commandments, I go, oh man, he's already light years ahead of me. But even this is not enough. So already I can sort of see that I'm not sort of good enough. By my own power, I have not kept the commandments of God. I've failed in this. And in fact, pretty much everyone has. So the Lord says another place in Scripture that all have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. That all are in this state where they're not good, right? They're not good. They have committed serious sin against God and against their neighbors, and often even against our own selves in our lives, that we're really not sort of good enough. So even if that was the measure, that if I just am sort of, if I'm good enough, almost all of us, if not everyone, has fallen short of that measure, even if that were the measure. But that's not what Jesus says, because he says these things and he replies, "Teacher, I've observed all these from my youth." Jesus, looking at him and loving him, said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." And it's not just a measure of being good enough. It's about giving ourselves wholeheartedly to God. That if something has a hold on our heart, more than God does, we have to give that thing up. Be willing to give that thing up. If that's our work, if that's our relationships, if that's our way of life or certain habits that we have, if that's certain sins that have a hold in our life, we need to give all those things up. But more than anything, we need to come and follow Jesus. That means being a disciple of Jesus Christ. The Lord looks at him and says, come follow me. He invites him to be a disciple. He invites this young man to come and follow him. And he's saying in other places in Scripture that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Later on, when he's about to die, he's talking with his disciples before his crucifixion, his apostles before his crucifixion. And he says, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to my Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And you know the way. And one of the apostles says, how can we know the way? We don't even know where you're going. He says, do you not know me? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. That Jesus says, if you want eternal life, you have to come and follow me and be my disciple. You have to follow Jesus along the way. There's a few other places in Scripture where Jesus talks too about how we might have eternal life. He says, this is the work of the one, this is the work that we are to do, to believe in the one whom God has sent, right? Jesus Christ. And so we do have to have faith in Jesus. We do have to recognize him truly as God who has become man. We have to have faith in him and say, you know, you are the way and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to commit myself to you. He also says that we have to be born again from above by water and the Holy Spirit. So baptism is necessary as well. In another place in John's Gospel, chapter 6, he says, what? If you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life within you. So that's another thing. The Holy Eucharist is pretty important. And then he says in another place, it's not enough. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he says, those who do the will of my Father. So we actually have to keep God's commands and do his will as well. And he talks also about how the way to heaven is narrow, and few are those who walk it, that there is really a narrow way to heaven, and it's Jesus. It's about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so if we truly want eternal life, how do we get it? It's not just about being sort of good enough. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. It's about baptism and Eucharist and doing what God the Father commands us. It's about being a disciple of Jesus and following after him where he leads. And so he asks us, if we want eternal life, to give up everything that has a hold on our heart and in our lives that keep us from doing God's will, to give all of it up and to follow where Jesus leads, to become a true disciple, a follower of Jesus. This is really the answer to the question, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's not just about not being too bad and being good enough. It's about following Jesus with our whole hearts and entering into a wholehearted relationship with the Lord, who looks at us with love, just as he looks at this young man. He looks at us with love. And it's a response to the loving action of Jesus, who has become a man and looked at us in this way and called us to follow him, that we respond with a wholehearted love to him. And by God's grace, we put ourselves behind Jesus and we go wherever he leads us wholeheartedly. And that's not a passive thing. That's not just being good enough. That's a response of love to the love of God that is a wholehearted action. And so if we really want eternal life, this is what we have to do. We have to follow after Jesus, in faith, receiving holy baptism, participating in Holy Eucharist as you are today, and doing the will of the Father, whatever that may be. But it's about being a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ and letting go of anything in our lives that keep us from doing that. Anything that's an obstacle to you being a follower of Jesus, to leave that behind, to give that up, and to gain then in this treasure in heaven. So I just invite you to reflection on this day. Is there something in your life preventing you from following Jesus wholeheartedly? Whatever that is, right? To surrender that to God, to let go of that, and to tell Jesus, so as not to be the rich young man who walks away sad, to say, Jesus, I will follow you. I surrender everything. Whatever I have to do to be with you, I am willing to do it. And this is the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is what a Catholic life should look like, to be a true follower of the Lord. But in this, you gain, as you give up everything, you gain everything. Because if you give up all the riches and treasures of the world and you gain God, that's well worth it. It's that pearl of great price. And so we receive, in place of all that we give up, God himself. And this is what he says, no, anyone who's given up brother or sister or lands for me will receive 100 times more, because we receive God himself. Amen.